There's a moment, invisible, brief, but decisive, between what happens to you and what you choose to do next. Most people skip over it. They react, fast, emotionally, without thinking, as if their nervous system is running the show. But the Stoic doesn't live like that. He doesn't let the world push buttons in his mind like he's a machine. He pauses, observes, and responds, not from panic, but from power. You see, reaction is easy, it's automatic, it's what happens when you let the outside dictate your inside. A harsh word, a sudden change, a moment of disrespect, and suddenly, you're not thinking, you're flinching. But response? That's different. It's thoughtful, grounded. It's born not from fear, but from clarity. This is the art the Stoics mastered, not controlling the world, but controlling how they met the world. Because in that small space, in that sacred pause between stimulus and action, lives your freedom. The freedom to choose a better response. The freedom to remain still when everything inside you screams to lash out. The freedom to rise above the storm rather than be swept away by it. This episode is about reclaiming that space. About training yourself not to react to life, but to respond with life, with vision, with strength, with wisdom. And in doing so, transform not just how you feel, but who you become. One dot. Reaction is impulse. Response is power. You're walking through your day, and suddenly something hits you. A rude message, a disrespectful look, an unexpected change of plans, and before your brain even finishes registering what happened, your body is already reacting. Maybe your voice rises. Maybe your jaw tightens. Maybe you feel heat rising in your chest, the urge to defend yourself, explain yourself, or retaliate. That's the moment most people lose themselves. In a split second, they surrender control. Not to the situation, but to the emotion it triggered. That's what reaction is, a surrender disguised as strength. It feels powerful in the moment, sharp, immediate, charged with energy. But it often leaves damage behind, to your peace, to your relationships, to your sense of self. And worse, it reinforces a habit. When I feel, I must act. But the Stoics saw it differently. They believed real strength begins after the feeling, not in the fire of emotion, but in the space between the spark and your decision. That space is sacred. It's what separates a wild impulse from a conscious response. And it's small, so small you could miss it. But if you slow down, if you become aware of that gap, you'll realize something profound. You are not your reaction. You are the one who observes it, and that awareness alone can change everything. Marcus Aurelius once wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." He wasn't speaking from a place of detachment. He was in the middle of wars, betrayals, pressure. And still, he understood that the real battlefield is internal, not external. Responding is an art. It's not silence out of weakness. It's stillness born from wisdom. It means you've trained your nervous system not to be hijacked by every passing event. It means you've learned to anchor yourself. Not in what was said or done, but in how you choose to carry yourself through it. So when something triggers you, the question isn't, how do I fight this? The question is, how do I want to show up in this? Because that changes everything. Suddenly, the person who insulted you no longer holds the remote control to your emotions. The plan that failed no longer defines your value. The moment of chaos becomes an opportunity to practice mastery, not lose it. And let's be honest, no one regrets pausing, but many regret what they said in anger, what they posted in pain, what they did while overwhelmed. Reaction is expensive, but response is powerful because it's deliberate. It's not about suppression, it's about redirection. Choosing not just what to say, but whether it's even worth saying. Not just what to do, but whether it aligns with who you want to be. So the next time the pressure rises, pause, breathe, watch the reaction come, and let it pass. Then choose your response like an artist chooses a brushstroke. Not out of urgency, but intention. Because power isn't in the volume of your voice. It's in the quiet clarity behind your choices. That's how a stoic lives. Not at the mercy of the world, but in mastery of the self. 2. Slow down your nervous system. Most people think clarity is a mindset, but clarity is first a state, and no amount of wisdom or philosophy can land in a nervous system stuck in survival mode. When your body is hijacked by adrenaline, when your breath is shallow and your heart is racing, your brain doesn't care about stoicism. It just wants safety. It's not asking, what's the wisest thing to do here? It's screaming, how do I escape, defend, attack, control? This is why so many of our regrets begin not in thought, but intention. The Stoics didn't have the neuroscience we do today, but they knew the principle well. Calm is the foundation of control. Epictetus reminded us that no man is free who is not master of himself, and self-mastery begins with regulation. It begins when you notice the tight chest, the clenched jaw, the heat in your cheeks, and instead of moving faster, you pause, you slow your breath, you come back to your body. Because here's the truth. Most of your worst reactions don't come from what happened. They come from how your body interpreted what happened, and interpretation is shaped by state. You don't need to be in fight or flight to send a text, but you'd better not send it while you're in that state, because it won't come from you. It will come from the storm inside you. Learning to slow your nervous system is one of the most overlooked Stoic disciplines of all. We imagine the Stoic as someone who remains still in the face of chaos. That stillness isn't just emotional, it's physical. It's the breath, the posture, the decision to wait before speaking, the choice to move slowly when everything wants you to rush. It's a skill, and it can be practiced. The next time you feel triggered, don't force your mind to calm down. Start with your body. Breathe slowly through your nose. Ground your feet. Unclench your fists. Remind your nervous system, there's no tiger here. We're not in danger. We're simply being challenged. The body will believe what you teach it consistently. When you train your system to stay calm in difficult moments, you expand your power. You widen that space between stimulus and response. You make room for wisdom to enter. And most importantly, you stop being someone who is easily moved by every external disturbance. Because the Stoic knows, power isn't found in controlling others, it's in calming yourself. A calm body leads to a clear mind, and a clear mind makes strong choices. It's not just philosophy, it's physiology. So start there, not with big ideas, but with your breath. Because every time you slow down your nervous system, you're not just calming down, you're taking your power back. 3. Time reveals the truth of action. In the heat of a moment, truth is rarely visible. Emotions surge, thoughts race, instincts fire. And yet, it's precisely in those moments that we're most tempted to act, quickly, harshly, without reflection. That's the paradox. The more urgent a situation feels, the more necessary it becomes to pause. Because time is not your enemy, it's your ally. Time is what reveals what impulse tries to hide. You've probably noticed this in your own life. A message arrives that feels disrespectful. Your chest tightens, your fingers hover over the keyboard, ready to respond. But if you wait, just a little, the tone softens. Not the sender's, but yours. What felt like an attack might simply be a misunderstanding. What seemed like betrayal may reveal itself as someone else's fear, not your failure. That's what time does. It's a mirror that clarifies, not distorts. The Stoics knew this intimately. They trained themselves to endure discomfort, not because they enjoyed suffering, but because they understood that truth doesn't arrive wrapped in emotion. It arrives in silence, in stillness, in distance from the heat. Seneca once said, "Anger, if not restrained, is frequently more hurtful to us than the injury that provokes it." That restraint, that waiting, isn't weakness. It's wisdom in action. It's faith in perspective. It's the ability to say, "I don't need to understand everything right now to act wisely later." We live in a world obsessed with speed, instant responses, instant judgment, instant justice. But most of our mistakes don't come from lack of action. They come from action that was too fast, too reactive, too driven by ego, fear, pride, or insecurity. And in that race, we lose sight of what really matters. We act to win arguments, but lose relationships. We prove a point, but damage trust. We speak too soon and silence the truth that was still forming in us. Time gives us space. And in that space, we don't just see others more clearly. We see ourselves. We notice the story we were telling in our heads, the assumptions we were carrying, the fears that were shaping our urgency. And when you see those, you don't just choose a better action, you become a better person. Because you're no longer living at the mercy of emotional weather. You've built shelter within yourself. Letting time guide your actions doesn't mean doing nothing. It means doing the right thing at the right time. It means trusting that clarity will come if you don't rush to meet it with noise. It means understanding that not everything needs a response, and some things only deserve one after you've given them room to breathe. There's also a hidden strength in letting others reveal themselves through time. People will show you who they are, not in one moment, but across many. If you react too quickly, you miss the pattern. But if you observe, wait, reflect, you learn. And that knowledge protects your energy, your peace, your purpose. So the next time you're pulled to act, pause. Ask yourself, what will this look like in an hour, in a day, in a week? If the answer changes, so should your urgency, because time doesn't lie. It simply asks you to wait long enough for the lie to fall apart on its own. Let your stillness be a shield. Let your delay be your discipline, because in the end, the person who owns their time owns their power. And the person who lets time speak first always speaks last, and often speaks best. 4. Step back before stepping in. There's a moment, right before we act, where we still have a choice, a narrow gap between emotion and motion, between instinct and decision. Most people skip over it. They jump in, speak up, push forward. But the Stoic learns to step back before stepping in. Because distance doesn't mean disengagement, it means clarity. When something challenges you, an insult, a setback, a difficult situation, the impulse is to assert yourself immediately. Defend, correct, fix. But what if that very impulse is the trap? What if the speed of your reaction is not a sign of control, but a sign of being controlled? Stepping back doesn't mean running away. It means reclaiming your center before you respond. Marcus Aurelius often reminded himself to return to himself. He believed that only from within, away from the noise of the world, could a wise decision emerge. So when the world pulls you to react, you pull inward first. You breathe. You observe. You assess. Not just the situation, but your own state. Are you calm? Are you clear? Or are you fueled by ego, pride, anger, or fear? Because if you don't know what's driving you, your next move might take you further from who you want to be. A quick response may satisfy your need to feel in control, but a thoughtful one actually gives you control. This is where the Stoic mindset becomes a daily practice, not just an idea, but a discipline. You learn to insert space between the stimulus and the response. You train your mind to zoom out, to see not just the surface event, but the wider pattern. To ask not, how do I win this moment, but what kind of person do I want to be in this moment? And something changes when you do that. You start to respond from alignment, not from agitation. You speak less, but with more impact. You act slower, but with greater strength. You stop being tossed around by every wave, and instead, you become the shoreline, steady, unmoved, observant. Think about how many mistakes in your life were not made from lack of intelligence, but from lack of pause. A fight escalated because you spoke too soon. A wrong decision was made because you didn't wait for the full picture. An opportunity was lost because you rushed in without seeing clearly. All of those could have been avoided with a step back. And when you take that step, don't just observe the situation, observe yourself in it. Where are you being pulled? What is this moment trying to teach you? What version of yourself is being tested? The more aware you become, the less reactive you grow. And that's the real power of Stoicism. It doesn't promise a life without storms. It gives you the tools to stop becoming one. So before you step in, slow down. Anchor yourself. Choose who you are before you choose what to do. Because when you master the pause, you master the outcome. And no one can take that power from you, not even the chaos outside. 5. Reactivity is a loss of control. Reactivity feels like control, until you realize you've lost it. It sneaks in through urgency, disguising itself as strength, as decisiveness, as self-respect. But if you look closely, you'll see it's none of those things. It's not clarity speaking, it's emotion hijacking the wheel. The moment you let anger, insecurity, or ego speak for you, you're no longer leading yourself. You're being led by something you didn't choose. The Stoics warned against this illusion. Epictetus said, "It's not events that disturb people, it's their judgments about them." But when you're reactive, there's no space for judgment, only instinct. Something happens, and before you even know it, you're already deep in it. A harsh word turns into a fight. A small inconvenience ruins your entire day. A glance from someone triggers a whole storm of interpretation. That's not awareness. That's automatic behavior. And automatic behavior is how we become slaves to the external. Reactivity, at its core, is the inability to pause. And that pause is everything. It's where growth happens. It's where you regain the power to decide, what kind of person do I want to be right now? Without that pause, you're just reacting to life like a pinball, bouncing from emotion to emotion, moment to moment, without direction or discipline. You may feel like you're asserting yourself, but you're really just exposing your lack of control. Now think of the strongest people you've ever met. Truly strong. Not loud, not aggressive, not controlling, but grounded. Calm under pressure, clear when others are chaotic. Do they yell? Do they panic? Do they snap back every time they're provoked? Probably not, because they understand something most don't. That real power is not in how fast you can respond, but in how long you can remain still without losing yourself. Every time you react without reflection, you give your peace away. You hand it over to the moment, to someone else's behavior, to a trigger that may not even belong to you. It's like handing the keys of your mind to a stranger and asking them to drive. And then we wonder why we feel out of balance, why we regret what we said, why we wish we could rewind time and do it differently. But the Stoic knows there's a better way, not by suppressing emotions, but by mastering them, not by pretending you don't feel, but by learning how to feel without becoming consumed. You let the emotion rise, but you don't let it decide. You watch it like a wave, you don't chase it, and you don't resist it. You let it come, and more importantly, you let it go. And this is where discipline becomes essential. You have to train yourself to notice the trigger, to feel the heat rising in your chest, to feel your breath shorten, and then to do something radically different from what your body wants. You pause, you breathe, you return to yourself. You remind your mind, this is a test. I don't need to pass it with rage. I pass it by not being moved. Because what happens next determines who you become, not just how the world sees you, but how you see yourself. Every time you choose not to react, you are reclaiming your integrity. You are proving to yourself that you are not a puppet to the world. You are the author of your actions. And with practice, this becomes your default. You don't chase after every insult. You don't explain yourself to every critic. You don't rise to every provocation. Not because you're passive, but because you've outgrown the need to prove anything to people who aren't even grounded themselves. That's freedom. That's mastery. That's stoicism lived in real time. So remember this. Just because you feel something doesn't mean you have to act on it. Just because someone provokes you doesn't mean they deserve your reaction. And just because the moment feels urgent doesn't mean it's worthy of your peace. Hold your response like it's sacred, because it is. 6. Responding reflects wisdom. Wisdom doesn't shout, it doesn't rush, it doesn't interrupt. Wisdom walks slowly. It listens more than it speaks. It waits before it moves. And in a world where noise is constant and speed is rewarded, responding thoughtfully becomes a rare and revolutionary act. The Stoics didn't just teach this, they lived it. They believed that what separates the wise from the foolish is not knowledge, but discernment. The ability to pause, to reflect, to choose. Not just react. Every moment is a test. Every encounter is a mirror. And how you respond to life, especially in difficulty, is how you train your mind to see reality clearly. You can be brilliant and still impulsive. You can be educated and still reactive. But if you cannot slow yourself down long enough to respond with clarity, then all that knowledge is like a sword in shaking hands. Think of how many regrets are born not from ignorance, but from haste, from saying the wrong thing in anger, from acting too soon out of fear, from defending yourself when you could have just let silence speak. Most of the pain we carry doesn't come from what happened. It comes from how we responded to what happened. To respond wisely means you've done the inner work. It means you've questioned your assumptions. It means you've unhooked from your ego. It means you've trained your nervous system not to explode the moment it feels threatened. And that's a form of strength you can't fake. People feel it. They may not know why they feel calm in your presence, but they do. They may not be able to explain why they trust your words, but they do. Because something in you is rooted, and roots don't flinch in the wind. A wise response is not just about being polite. It's about being grounded in something deeper than emotion. It's knowing that not every problem is yours to solve, that not every insult needs an answer, that not every conflict deserves your energy. Sometimes wisdom is walking away. Sometimes it's saying no. Sometimes it's just breathing and letting the moment pass, like a wave that doesn't need to carry you with it. Marcus Aurelius wrote, The best revenge is not to be like your enemy. That line holds the entire philosophy. When someone comes at you with chaos, respond with calm. When they act from pride, respond with humility. When they seek to provoke, don't let them succeed. Not because you're weak, but because you're not available for their drama. You've chosen a higher game. And yes, sometimes it's hard. Your body wants to fire back. Your mind wants to defend. Your pride wants to win. But you have to ask yourself, win what exactly? What do you gain by lowering yourself to their level? What do you lose by staying centered? Because if you measure your worth by how often you respond wisely, not how often you win arguments, then you're already ahead. So train yourself daily in small moments, when the email frustrates you, when the driver cuts you off, when someone speaks carelessly. Don't just survive those moments, use them. Let them be your dojo, your classroom, your path to mastery. Every time you respond with clarity instead of chaos, you prove that your mind is yours and no one else's. And maybe that's what real wisdom is, not knowing everything, but knowing yourself deeply enough to choose peace, even when it's hard. 7. Breath is the bridge. There's a moment, just a moment, between impulse and action, between the rise of anger and the words that escape your mouth, between panic and that first step towards something you'll later regret. And in that space, there lives a secret most people ignore: your breath. It's always with you, always waiting, always offering you a way back to clarity. Breath is not just air, it's awareness. It's the pause that makes the difference between reaction and response. The Stoics didn't write about breath in modern scientific terms, but they lived its truth. They knew that to master yourself, you must first master your state, and no tool brings you into the present like the breath. When your thoughts are racing, your breath is shallow. When fear grips your mind, your chest tightens. When anger floods your system, your breath becomes fast and erratic. But here's the paradox. While emotion changes breath, breath can also change emotion. A single deep breath can break the pattern. It interrupts the spiral. It slows the world down just enough for you to return to who you are, not who the moment is trying to make you. It's the anchor that grounds you when your mind is drifting. It's the signal to your nervous system that you are safe, that you are in control, that you are not at the mercy of your surroundings. And in today's world, so loud, so rushed, so reactive, what could be more powerful than the ability to pause without needing permission? Most people feel like they need more time, more knowledge, more strength to stay calm. But the Stoic knows all you really need is a breath. It's not about taking 5 minutes of meditation every morning, though that may help. It's about the micro moments. That half second before you send the text you'll regret. That beat before you interrupt someone. That pause before you judge. If you train yourself to return to the breath in those moments, you won't just change your day, you'll change your life. Seneca once wrote, "We suffer more in imagination than in reality. And what fuels that imagination? A mind that's lost touch with the present, a mind that is not breathing with awareness. But when you come back to the breath, you come back to reality. And more importantly, you come back to yourself. So next time you feel the rise, the pulse quicken, the heat in your face, the rush to speak, stop. Inhale slowly, exhale fully. Let that breath carry the emotion out of your body, not into your behavior. You'll be surprised how many battles are avoided, how many regrets are spared, how much peace you preserve, simply by breathing first. It sounds simple, but the deepest truths often are." 8. Anchor into observation. Imagine standing on the shore, watching waves crash. You don't jump into the water every time a wave rises. You watch, you study its rhythm, you let it pass. Now imagine your emotions are those waves, your thoughts, those clouds passing overhead. And you? You are the shore. You are the sky. Not the wave. Not the cloud. The moment you understand this, you become free. Observation is the beginning of freedom. It doesn't mean you detach coldly from life, pretending not to feel. It means you create space between what happens and what you do next. And that space, though invisible, is the birthplace of all inner strength. The Stoics knew this. They practiced it daily. Because observation is not a talent, it's a habit, a cultivated muscle of the mind. Most people live in automatic mode. Something happens, they react. A word is said, they respond without thinking. They are driven by mood, by triggers, by outside noise. But the Stoic watches first. He doesn't suppress. He studies. He doesn't escape. He examines. And that moment of observation becomes his anchor. It holds him steady when everything else pulls. To observe is to take back control. It's standing just one step back from your thoughts, just one breath away from your emotions, and asking, what is this, really? Is it fear? Is it ego? Is it an old wound trying to speak through today's voice? When you ask that, you begin to see through the illusion. Not every feeling is truth. Not every thought is fact. Not every impulse deserves action. This is not easy, especially in the heat of a moment, especially when your chest is tight, when your pride is poked, when silence feels like defeat. But this is where strength is built. In the ability to say, before I act, I will observe. Before I accuse, I will listen. Before I conclude, I will reflect. This observational mindset doesn't just make you more peaceful, it makes you more precise. In how you speak, in what you allow, in the boundaries you set. Because clarity lives in stillness. And the more you watch without reacting, the more you begin to understand what truly matters and what simply doesn't deserve your energy. The world pushes you to jump into every wave, to be outraged, to comment, to reply, to defend, but that's noise. And the more you react to it, the more you lose the quiet truth of your own mind. The Stoic remains anchored, not because he doesn't feel, but because he refuses to be swept away. So practice this daily. When the urge to interrupt rises, observe. When judgment whispers in your ear, observe. When emotion flares, observe. Do nothing at first. Just watch. And you'll notice, the things that seemed urgent begin to dissolve. The feelings that screamed for attention fade. And you remain calm, grounded, awake. Because in the end, the observer is not powerless. The observer is free. 9. Stoics act, not overreact. Action is a fundamental part of life. We cannot avoid it. Every day demands choices, decisions, movements forward or backward. But there is a crucial difference between acting and overreacting. The Stoics recognize this difference deeply. To act wisely means to align your decisions with reason, clarity, and purpose. To overreact is to be ruled by impulse, emotion, and momentary turbulence. When a challenge arises, your initial impulse might be to explode, angrily, loudly, aggressively. This reaction may feel powerful. It may momentarily give you a sense of control or release. But it comes at a steep cost. Overreaction clouds judgment, damages relationships, and consumes energy. It scatters your focus, making future decisions harder. In essence, it weakens you. The Stoic approach is almost counterintuitive in our fast-paced, high-emotion culture. It's not about denying feelings or suppressing your humanity. Rather, it's about tempering those feelings, delaying the impulse to respond until you can choose a measured action. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If it is not right, do not do it. If it is not true, do not say it." This was his reminder to himself to respond not to impulse, but to reason and virtue. Overreaction is often triggered by pride, fear, or wounded ego. When someone insults you, it's easy to lash back. When you face injustice, it's tempting to shout louder than necessary. When stress builds, the smallest irritation can erupt into a storm. But what the Stoics teach us is that the storm inside does not have to dictate the storm outside. Your response can be calm, deliberate, and powerful, even when everything inside you screams to do otherwise. Consider this: how many conflicts in your life have escalated because someone or you overreacted? How many relationships have frayed due to words spoken in anger or haste? How many opportunities were lost because a moment of composure was replaced by a moment of rashness? These are the silent costs of overreaction. To act without overreacting, you must cultivate self-awareness and discipline. It begins with recognizing your triggers, the situations, words, or actions that push your buttons. Then you train yourself to pause, to breathe, to step back mentally and physically from the moment. This pause creates the crucial space to choose a response rather than launch a reaction. This space is your power. With practice, the pause becomes longer, your awareness sharper. You learn that sometimes the best action is no immediate action at all. Sometimes the wisest move is to listen, to wait, to hold your peace. Strength is not always loud, it's often silent. The strongest people don't always raise their voices. They know when to conserve energy and when to engage. The Stoics also remind us that not every battle is ours to fight. Overreacting wastes precious energy on fights that don't align with our values or goals. Wisdom lies in discernment, choosing which battles merit your attention and which deserve your calm absence. Moreover, acting without overreacting means embracing responsibility. When you respond with composure, you demonstrate mastery over yourself. You show that you are not a slave to circumstance, but an architect of your life. This kind of strength builds trust in others and confidence in yourself. Imagine the transformation in your daily life if you replaced every angry outburst with a measured action. If every moment of frustration was met with patience, every insult with dignity, every setback with resilience. Not only would your peace deepen, but your influence would grow. People are drawn to those who remain steady in chaos, the calm in the storm. This is the essence of Stoic action: deliberate, virtuous, and wise. So next time you feel the urge to react explosively, remember that you have a choice. You can act with intention or overreact in impulse. The path of the Stoic is clear. Choose action. Choose calm. Choose power. Because true mastery is not in controlling the world outside, but in mastering the world inside. 10. Space between stimulus and response is freedom. There is a moment, a brief, almost imperceptible gap between what happens to you and how you choose to respond. It's a space so small that most people don't even notice it, yet it holds the key to your freedom. The Stoics taught that within this space lies the power to decide your path, your peace, and ultimately, your life. Imagine the daily provocations you face: a harsh word from a colleague, a sudden change in plans, a frustrating traffic jam. Your first impulse might be to react immediately, to flare up, to complain, to let your emotions dictate your actions. That impulse is natural. It's primal, but it is also unconscious, and unconscious reactions often lead to regret, broken relationships, and inner turmoil. Now, imagine you have the ability to step into that small space, to slow down your breath, calm your mind, and choose your response consciously. This space is not just time, it's awareness. It's the refuge where your higher self can speak, where your reason can guide, where your values can lead. This is freedom, not freedom from challenges, but freedom within them. Breath is your anchor in this space. A deep, intentional breath signals your nervous system to shift from fight or flight into calm and clarity. It widens the gap between stimulus and response, and with this widening, the power to choose grows. The Stoics didn't promise a life without hardship or provocation. What they promised was the discipline to meet those hardships with wisdom. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself that external events are neither good nor bad, they are indifferent. It is our judgment of them and how we respond that defines our experience. Cultivating this space takes practice. At first, it might feel impossible. Your mind races, your emotions surge, and you want to react. But with repetition, you train your brain to pause, to observe the stimulus, notice the impulse, and create the gap. Over time, that gap becomes a sanctuary of peace. Living in this space means you don't carry every insult as a wound. You don't chase every slight with anger. You don't let every inconvenience steal your calm. Instead, you engage with life thoughtfully, deliberately, and with presence. This is the essence of Stoic strength, the ability to be fully engaged in the moment without being consumed by it. To face the storms of life, not as a victim, but as a master of your inner world. Every time you choose the space between stimulus and response, you reclaim your power, you build resilience, you nurture peace, you affirm that no external event can control your inner state unless you allow it. So, the next time life pushes you, take a breath, find that space, step into your freedom. Because there, in that small gap, lies the true mastery of self and the beginning of your truest life. We spend much of our lives reacting, often unconsciously, to the endless waves of circumstance, emotion, and expectation. But true mastery lies in the sacred space between what happens and how we choose to meet it. This space is where freedom is born. The Stoics teach us that power is not about controlling the uncontrollable outside us, but about cultivating control within. It is the discipline to pause, to breathe, to observe, and then to respond, not react. It is in these moments that we reclaim our peace, our purpose, and our very selves. Each no you speak without apology, each breath you take before replying, each step you choose to pause instead of charge forward. These are not small acts. They are declarations. Declarations that your life will be led by wisdom, not impulse, by clarity, not chaos, by strength, not surrender. So as you move forward, remember this. Your greatest power is in your response. Your truest freedom is in your ability to hold space between stimulus and action. And your deepest peace is found not in a world without challenges, but in a mind that remains calm amidst them. Live deliberately, respond thoughtfully, master yourself. Because in doing so, you don't just survive life. You become the author of a life worth living.